1149. Yeah.
Good luck.
1149.
Gina.
$1,200.
$1,200. Got it. $1,200. Nancy.
$1,250.
Good luck, Frederick.
$1,251, Rick.
$1,251. Actual retail price, $3,000. Frederick.
Explain why your name's up.
Yeah, yeah. All right. That's how I felt when Robert asked me to preach. So, you know, he introduced me as Brian, and I usually only get Frederick if I'm in trouble or if I get called onto The Price is Right. So it's good to be with you this morning. You know, it was an amazing time. I won that 4K TV. And then I got onto this game where I had to guess prizes from 50 years earlier. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm trying to calculate inflation in my head. Had to go ladies' handbag, pot and pan set, and like a skill saw. And if I got within $50, I would win a new kitchen. So with the crowd's help, I won a new kitchen on The Price is Right. It was awesome. I got to spin the giant wheel and go on the showcase showdown as well. And it was an amazing experience. And it got me thinking, being in the audience was awesome. I mean, there's lights and cameras, the production crew's running around. There is party music. Drew Carey comes out and he's joking with the crowd and everything. And so I'm loving life sitting in the stands. But it just pales in comparison to actually being on the show, you know, playing the games, winning prizes. Like, that was so amazing. I kind of think it's the same for us in the church. That you know, like listening and watching to what God's doing, and you guys know God is moving here at this church. I mean, we see people being saved, we see healing and freedom. I mean, God is moving, playing churches all over the world, and it's amazing to watch what God's doing. But it just pales in comparison to playing the game, like being in God's work, making disciples, passing it on. It's like God's saying, church, you're the next contestant. You're the next contestant to pass it on, to make disciples. He wants you in the game. So we've been talking about discipleship. You guys have seen this slide, this plant. Look up, look in, look out. So we look up to God by connecting with him. This is our prayer and worship, you know, feeling God's presence. Looking in, this is Christ just forming our character to be more like his. And today we're going to talk about looking out, like having our eyes outside the walls of this church to people out in the world. And, you know, when we talk about looking out in discipleship, God can open a door in people's hearts for the gospel to just ring loudly and bring about life change and God's love and salvation to people who are just far from him. And we want to see that. And today I want this sermon to really help you look outward and help your disciples to look outward. You know, about 12 years ago, I felt pretty convicted because I was a pastor. I'd been to seminary. I'd you know, read books like they were way too big, you know, way too big. So I knew about discipleship up here, but no one had ever shown me how to pass it on, how to look up, look in, look out. And so I called my buddy Tony. He was on furlough from the mission field. He was a former gang member. God had just totally transformed his life. And so much so that God called him to unreached people groups in Southeast Asia. And he's seen hundreds of churches started out in Southeast Asia. So I told my buddy, I said, hey, could you just show me how to make disciples? I wanna pass this on. Like, I wanna make disciples. I wanna see people come to faith for the first time. I wanna see people pray for the first time. I'd love to baptize someone who is just so far gone that you'd think, how in the world could they ever come to Christ? You know, I want to learn that. And so he said, sure, let's just go around and we'll meet up maybe an hour or two a week. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're just going to go walk around, do life together, and see what God does. So we go up to this park right over here, Kalina Park. And I'm a little nervous here because he's former gang member. He's like, he's a missionary. And so I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. There's 20 kids, like probably junior high, high school age. And he starts beeline it towards them. And he just does this. Guys, come here. And I watch as all 20 kids just gather around. And I'm like, what is going on? He shares the gospel with them. And I kid you not, all 20 kids raise their hand to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, I'm just like, is this guy for real here? So then he goes, hey, that was great, Brian. You know, I used to live on this street called Altadena right over here. We used to call it A-Block because that's where all the gang members lived. So he's like, let's just go knock on doors. And I'm like, yeah, great. So I am just so scared. I mean, this is the scariest thing. I would do anything else than go knock on gang members' doors, you know? It's like, I didn't know asking him to show me how to make disciples would lead to me knocking on gang members' doors. So I tried to get out of it. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, there's some clouds in the sky. You know, it's probably going to rain. You know, I got a little tickle in my throat. I want to share the gospel, but I don't want to get them sick, you know. So I'm like, and he'd be at the door, and I'm like way back here. I'm like, yeah, I'll just, if they answer, you know, I'll get in there. So I'm surprised when we knock on this gang member's door, 19-year-old. He's slightly hungover from the night before. And I watch as my buddy just shares a simple gospel message with him. And he says, you know what? I've been living a life of just trying to do whatever I can, have fun, partying, gang life. And I need that in my life. And I watch as a gang member gives his life to the Lord. And we start a Bible study at his house. So this is like, at a gang marriage. So then we teach him right away how he can share that same gospel message. And we say, well, hey, who in your life needs to hear this message? And he's like, you know, my brother. So we're like, great, why don't you bring him next week? So he brings his brother. His brother turns out to be the gang leader. And he's a Cambodian gang leader. So this is like the worst gang. You know, Cambodian gangs are notorious. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have made a giant mistake, you know, because now there's the gang leader. He's going to be mad at us, you know. And there I watch him hear the gospel, and he says, I want that in my life as well. He gives his life to the Lord. We do the same thing. We teach, we practice sharing the gospel again, and we say, who else? And then they go, you know, I think my sister. And so we're great. Bring him next week. Sister comes. Sister gives her life to the Lord. And the Cambodian parents who don't speak any English, they're watching us do a Bible study in their house with their kids. And I just have like this light bulb moment go off. I'm like, in the Bible, we see whole households come to the Lord. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, if I didn't have the courage to stand 20 feet behind my friend while he knocked on the door, you know, they wouldn't have come to the Lord, you know? So that was really because I was back there praying. I didn't realize it at the time, but what I asked my friend to do is I asked him to disciple me. You know, I said, can you show me? But that's what I was saying, hey, could you disciple me? That's kind of what I asked. And I just watched him literally from far away make disciples, you know? And so how do we look out in discipleship? If you guys want to turn in Romans chapter 10, first point, how do we look out? We do that by showing our disciples the power of the gospel. Okay, showing our disciples the power of the gospel. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So Paul's writing about a people that thought that they could earn God's favor and blessing and salvation by following a bunch of rules or by keeping a bunch of laws. And he's reminding them about the power of the gospel. Earlier in Romans 1:16, I think we have it up on the boards. Paul says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." And Paul's saying this message that's near you, on your heart and mouth, this is a powerful message. I saw gang members come to the Lord. You know, this is a powerful message. It's on your lips. Paul is quoting Deuteronomy here. And he's reminding people that embedded in the law long ago was a heart of love, a law of love, that God didn't just want people to follow a list of rules, but God wanted people's hearts. It's why in the Shema says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your heart." Pastor Roberts talked about that he lists the heart first, you know? He wants our hearts. And then to actually pass it on. You see this here in verse 7? "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and gates." Like, this is an all-encompassing law of love, heart of love. You know, and I got to see that. I got to watch my friend do that. And as he taught me, I got to go and see the power of the gospel at work too. I shared with a frat guy at San Diego State the gospel, and he raised his hand. He's like, "Yeah, I want Jesus in my life. You know, I've been living this party lifestyle, and I wanna know God." So we sit down, and I start doing the same thing that I did with the gang members. As I watched my friend doing this Bible study, he stopped me. He's like, "Wait a sec, Pastor Brian, I can't go any further in the Bible." Okay, because when I got to San Diego State, I got a scholarship, but I lied to get it. And so before I learn anything else about Jesus, I need to go and make it right. And I just couldn't believe this, you know. It'd be easy to just kind of like, "Yeah, whatever, you know, that was my old life, you know." So I'm like, "Okay, great, let's pray. We prayed, let me know how it goes." He goes, and he says, he takes the money, it's $400. He'd use it all for partying. So he's like, got the money, goes to this guy. He said, "Hey, I lied to you, but I wanna make it right. I'm a Christian now. God's changed my life, and so I'm sorry." And here he hands the money back to this guy for the scholarship. And I just think, what could cause somebody to do that, church? You know, that's the power of the gospel, Holy Spirit working in people's lives. Says this, Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And I saw the power of the gospel at work in this SDSU guy's life. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a believer, you have this message near you, the power of the gospel in your heart, you know, on your lips. It's there, and that's why we want you to be discipled, to pass it on. Number two, how do we look out? By modeling how to share the gospel. Okay, so Romans 10, verse 11. "As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." In discipleship, we teach our disciples how to share the gospel, just like Jesus taught his disciples, like my friend Tony taught me. And this is what it's not. Hudson, can I borrow you real quick? Believe, believe, believe. Why won't you believe? God loves you so much, you know? That's not... Okay, that's good. And you're like, how could you mess up his hair? You know, it says, you know, that we're the preachers, you know, but it's not bashing people over the heads with the Bible, you know. That's not what we're trying to do here. The gospel's not an argument or a debate. It's an announcement and it's an invitation. It's like, come taste and see God's goodness. God wants to invite people in. Right now across this room, we're connected to people, friends, neighbors, family, coworkers that are far from God. We might be the only people who will ever have the chance to share the good news of Jesus with them. And if we don't tell them, who will? You know, we have the power of the gospel in our hearts. It's welling up, bubbling up on our lips. Like it's right there. So what I want to do is I'm gonna show you a simple gospel tool, just an easy way to share the gospel. It's called the bridge diagram. I want you guys to pay attention, okay? I'm gonna have you share with the person next to you. We're gonna just practice this after I'm done with this, okay? So this is called the bridge. In the beginning, God created all things, and he created people to love God and follow God and do things God's way. Instead of doing things God's way, people turned and ran from God, and they sinned. And that sin created a separation, a divide between a holy God and a sinful people. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. Many of you work a job and you get a payment for your work, a wage. And the payment or the wage of our sin leads to death, not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. And so what we like to do is we think, well, hey, I can get over here. And so we say, well, if you know, if I'm a good person, if I do a lot of good things, that'll get me to God. But it falls short. We can never do enough good. If I'm a nice guy, if I read my Bible 30 times, cover to cover, that'll do it. You know, as long as I just get to church every week, you know, that can't earn it. Some people say, well, hey, I make a lot of money. That's got to be a sign of God's blessing. All these things we do just fall short of getting to God. The second half of this verse says, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And this is the best news, church, that we can do nothing to earn salvation, to get to God. But God offers us a free gift of eternal life in Jesus, who died on the cross, exchanging our sin for his goodness, his righteousness, and making a way for us to get to God and experience life with him today, but also eternal life to come. So the two questions I want to ask you, and you can practice this too. Number one, where are you? Are you separated from God? Or are you with God? And number two, where do you want to be? Okay, so I'm going to leave the cheat sheet up here. And find someone next to you. If you're sitting by yourself, just someone scoot over. You have a little 3x5 card. There's a pen in the seat back. Why don't you just take a couple minutes to practice sharing what I just shared with the person next to you, okay? And don't worry if you get it wrong. Help each other out. Just try your best to share this bridge diagram, okay? Ready, go. Okay. Sorry if I'm cutting some of you off here. Hopefully you got a chance to practice that. Something you could teach your disciples is a simple way to share the gospel. My kids can share something like this. They're 8 and 10. So number three, how do we look out in discipleship? By sending our disciples to make their own disciples. Romans 10, 15. How can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You imagine they call my name on The Price is Right, camera pans over, and I go, uh-uh. You're there, but Brian Eckert, come down. You know, no, I don't want to go. You know, people would be like, are you crazy? You're going to go win prizes down there. You know, God wants to send you. We don't want to let fear rob us of the faith and the adventure of discipleship that God has for us. So he's called just us ordinary people to proclaim an extraordinary message. Jesus modeled it. He spent time with his disciples, showed them how to love, invest in others. He showed them how to share the gospel. And then he sent them and commissioned them to go and do the same with others, just like my friend Tony did with me. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, last week, Pastor Robert asked us to have a name kind of placed on our heart at the end of service. And one of my students came out to me after service, said, you know, I think God's putting this person, this roommate of mine on my heart. And so we actually stopped and prayed and we said, hey, Lord, could you just bring him to faith today? And I got a text from the student later that his roommate actually texted them that day and said, hey, could we talk about God? You know, and so they sit down and the roommate just kind of shares like, you know, I've been chasing all the wrong things. And he even described just a hole in his heart that he can't fill. And so this college student got to share the gospel and say, well, hey, if you'd surrender, if you trust in Jesus, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so last Sunday, his roommate came to the Lord. And I just thought, and so he's going to start discipling him. So I just thought, you know, my friend Tony showed me how to make disciples, and I started making disciples, and I get to show this college student how to make disciples, and now he's making his own disciples. And church, God wants that for all of you. God wants that for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling himself, the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. You know, no matter what your job is, if you're a student, you're unemployed, you're in tech, you are a construction worker, God has a new job for you, a new identity. You are his ambassadors in the world. An ambassador goes on behalf of their country or their king or their president and speaks on behalf of that country or president. And what the Bible is saying here is that we have been committed that message to be his ambassadors in the world. So you are a sent person. You're a herald. God's entrusted. He's put this message near your heart, on your lips. to proclaim good news to people who are far from him, to invite them in and say, hey, taste, see how good God is. You, church, are ambassadors with a powerful message of reconciliation, that God is not counting our sins against us. He wants you to pass it on, to be in the game, to see people pray for the first time and give their lives to Jesus. I mean, what could be better than that, church? Would you stand with me?